This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, this is the Breakfast Grill. With us today is CEO of Plus Solar, Ko Chuan Zin. In a country truly addicted to fossil fuels, is this the time for solar businesses to shine in Malaysia? Will Plus Solar be able to deliver not only environmental, but financial sustainability? But firstly, let's clear things up. Are you still the CEO of Plus Solar?
Yeah, this is a very good question. So far, actually, we just go through some restructuring. So right now, our new holding company named Plus Xnergy, which is X-N-E-R-G-Y, Xnergy. And Plus Solar, and I'm the group CEO from Plus Xnergy Holding. And Plus Solar is one of the subsidiaries of our Plus Xnergy group.
Why do this restructuring?
Actually, since quite early of the day when we started the business, we do understand that we will start our whole new energy business from solar, but we are always aim to go beyond solar. So in the past, in order to make our solution more precise and more sharp, we also become a Plus Solar. So the position is very clear. It's for the solar industry. And right now, actually, we are like to go beyond that. That's why the Plus Xnergy Holding, and this Xnergy, the X means we are going to explore all type of new energy in the clean energy field. That's why under the growth company, actually Plus Solar is there. And then we do have another subsidiaries, is our tech software, clean energy company, yeah, which is focused on AIoT solutions.
Let's just focus on your current solar business, because correct me if I'm wrong, that's still continuing, right?
Yep, it's still continuing and growing fast.
Okay, so looking at the numbers, because we are a business station, revenue, you hit nearly 150 million ringgit in 2020. That's a nice top line number. Give us a sense of the bottom line. What's your profit for 2020?
Actually, in this financial year, 2020, we had more than 20 over million. Yeah, in terms of our this profit after tax.
20 million profit over 150 million. That doesn't seem quite high comparable to a lot of your peers. And correct me if I'm wrong, margins have been declining in your industry, no?
Yeah, actually, in our industry, the margin is declining. This is a fact. I would say there's drive with a few things. First of all, actually, the industry is moving fast. That's why actually there's a lot of this inquiry and the volume come up. So because of that, actually, I would say one of our mission is to drive affordable clean energy to more people. So definitely, when the volume up, the margin definitely will decline. Yeah, I would say that's one of the situations.
When you say volume, you mean volume from a demand standpoint, in which there's so many providers who are offering the service now that it becomes a crowded market, or volume that there's just so much solar panels being created out there and being manufactured, so driving prices down and making it more competitive?
Yeah, I would say both. Yeah, actually the market demand actually has really increased a lot. That's why we are able to see actually have more people that have this inquiry. And there's a lot of industrial players also pretty support in clean energy. That's why today actually it's quite easy for people to accept solar technology. At the same time, definitely the market competition is there, because when the industry is getting doing well, a lot of new players coming into the industry, and that also caused some of a pricing competition.
So 20 million ringgit profit over 150 million revenue, we are talking about 13-14% margin, right? What were your margins like 3-5 years ago?
I would say definitely the margin is way much better in 3-5 years ago, when the market is really small, and that's the time that free tariff is at the free tariff era, because free tariff actually the market is all, I would say, restricted by quota, and this market is pretty small. Like it is just 1 year, probably like about 50 megawatt to 70 megawatt is pretty small. Yeah, and that's the reason it comes with a high margin. But right now, I'm quite glad that our market actually is even much bigger than before. If you look into the renewable energy mix trend today, I think about 8 to 9% actually is from renewable energy in Malaysia. And because of they are using this net energy metering to replace the in tariff, actually, we don't really have too much of this constraint with so-called the limited market quota availability there. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, when we look at renewable energy, solar still has one of the highest costs of productions compared to other renewable energy. You've seen hydro, wind, they generally have a cost production that's much lower. Now, I recalled in past interviews you've had, the payback periods reduced quite a lot. right? In your time when you started, payback was like 20, 30 years. It's dropped, I think, now to about 4 years. But that's still not good enough, right? What is required to bring the payback period for solar installations down to under a year?
Okay, probably I can do some of a sharing here. Yeah, actually, when we started the business, the payback period is about like 7 to 8 years or even up to 10 years. But right now, actually, the payback period is about 3 years. To be very frank, right now, solar technology is one of the cheapest clean energy in more than 100 over country. And Malaysia actually is about to reach a grid parity, which is the solar energy cost is very similar as a TNB, this electricity price. So actually about 3 years is quite a good, decent number, because if you look into the internal rate of return, it's more than 20 over percent. And today actually it's quite tough for you to find a quite a predictive income and the investment tools that can bring you a 20 over percent of return. So I would say, I would think about 2-3 years or less than 3 years kind of the payback period is quite good for solar. And this number that we fed on the C&I market, which is the rooftop market.
You point to an opportunity, you point to also a challenge you face, which is that you're seeing a plateau in the opportunity to bring down the payback further on solar. And what you're facing now is that there's so many players coming in and offering and putting pricing pressure. You don't see the cost optimization, but you're seeing the pricing pressure come through. That 12% margin that we've talked about is going to deteriorate and erode further. What are you doing to make sure that you are able to maintain that margin? Or are you kind of saying, look, it's going to be hard to do and let's just, you know, grow volume and sacrifice in terms of margin?
Okay, I would say in the different industry and also the different business segment, there's a different strategy for that. For solar farm, really, we have to go with high volume and a low margin, because right now, if you look at the LSS bidding system, it's always based on the reverse bidding. Whoever will bid for the lowest tariff rate, they are going to win the project. And this also, it will also press on the EPC margin side. So this is a fact that is just purely based on value engineering and how much we can really give the best and also optimize the pricing for them. For however, for our growth company, right now, this is the reason why we also established the different new energy solution, like our own AIoT solution. So that is something that we are not just selling solution, but we are selling solution with attach. And this attach is going to help us to have continuous income, in terms of the whole company itself.
Yeah, we're going to touch on that shortly. But I want to come back to the LSS element you raised just now, because the Energy Commission did announce the winners of the fourth cycle of the large-scale solar LSS 4 program on March 12th. There were 30 bidders to develop solar farms. But, you know, I didn't see your name. What was the reason why Solar Plus did not participate or didn't get awarded part of the LSS 4?
Okay, that's quite a question that people keep asking us. So I would say Plus Solar, we are the EPC. So for the name that you see over there, it's all the project developer and also the investor. So in order to protect our clients who are the investor and also developer interest, we decided we do not go in to compete with them. So this is a part of our business integrity and also the ethic to protect their interest. So even though you didn't see our name there as a project developer, but in fact, actually, we are, I would say, pretty active in the EPC role with a lot of them right now.
So you're behind the scenes in doing the actual EPC for many of these 30 winners. Can you give us a sense how much share you're able to secure from the, among the 30 players there?
I would say right now, we're still talking on about the services, about the timeline and also the pricing. However, we hope at least like about 100 to 200 megawatt is something that we are able to secure.
And in the last conversation about solar panels, you made a commitment to diversify your solar panels because it was quite heavily dependent on China, in which I think, correct me if I'm wrong, 80 to 90% of your solar panels were from China. What strides have you made to make sure you diversify your supply chain? Because one of the biggest challenges we are seeing now in COVID is that supply chain is being disrupted terribly. So how are you making sure that diversification is the name of your game?
Okay, I would say in order to diversify, the solar supplier is something quite challenging right now. Because if you look into the world top 10 manufacturers, I would say most of them actually they are mainly from China. And recently, actually there are some of the raw material price has already increased a lot. It's also begin from China because all the raw material suppliers are from there. So in solar business, I would say this is the challenge that everyone are facing. And it's quite difficult for us to switch off from solar. This is the reason why we are having this Plus Energy holding, and this is why we started to move into the different clean energy tech solution, like software itself, which I mentioned earlier. So this is something that we try to divert our business solution there. But solar side, yeah, it's a bit challenging.
It's challenging, and I think you're saying that with more competition coming through, it is tough. And one thing just to observe with respect to your portfolio, it is still quite focused on the industrial businesses, the corporate and commercial entities, not much on residential. Why not offer a retail solution?
Okay, yeah. I would say that this is based on our resources and also the company growth strategies arrangement, because I would say we are quite, our strength is always on the B2B side. That's why in the past, actually, we very focused to build our B2B team and also our back-end operation system. And this back-end operation system, like involved in ERP, all these things, are able for us to capture high volume, multiple buildings at the same time. And maybe in the future, yeah, which is we are still planning on that, we might go into residential system with a high scalable model. Yeah. So, but at this moment, we are still very focused on the CNI, which is commercial part, which very focused on our back end operation system to make it able to scale easily.
The challenge you have for the solar industry here is that the cost still remains high, and it's still not yet parity, on the way to parity. Do you see solar EPC as a solution beyond Malaysia? Because your work on industrial commercial, not bad, but would you then move beyond shores, beyond Malaysia then?
Okay, probably I can clarify a little bit here about the solar system pricing. To be very frank, if you look into, I would say, about 8 years back until today, actually the solar system price has dropped over 90%. And actually today, solar system price, I would say, consider is quite affordable. Just recently, because of the COVID and also supply chain, so I would say it increased back a little bit, but it's not back to like 3 years back or 2 years back, that kind of pricing. So it is still affordable there. So the pay period is still about 3 years, still quite decent numbers. So because of this right now, actually there's a lot of ESG initiative, and actually Plus Solar, we also eyeing into the different country in overseas as well. I would say in the past, actually, we quite focused in Malaysia. And actually, recently, we also very focused like East Coast and also Sarawak in Malaysia. This is something that our company are focused to develop the different team over the different places in Malaysia, because Malaysia is still our home country. So at the same time, we also look into the country like Vietnam and also Taiwan, because all these countries, actually, they have the quite a good initiative as well for renewable energy.
On The Breakfast Grill today, we have Koh Chuan Zen. Stay tuned as we probe him on his ventures beyond the installation of solar panels. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back. Koh Chuan Zen, CEO of Plus Solar, is in the hot seat. Now, we talked quite a lot about your solar business, your EPC business, but you have made changes. Tell us now, what are you going to do beyond the solar industry?
Okay, I would say eventually our company, we would like to build a whole ecosystem in clean energy industry. So what we are able to see, the global trend for clean energy, it starts from 3D. First, it's about decarbonized. That's why we do solar and decentralized. And that's why we are able to see a lot of solar power plant actually bring into the solar, into the buildings, and also on the houses building. And third one is about the digitalizations. And this is something that we started in a few years back, that we come up our own this AIoT solution. And the whole concept is very simple. We are just would like to transform like these smart devices, like smartwatch, which measure our heartbeat, which measure our health condition based on our heartbeat, and change it into the building itself. So we have our own smart meter called PowerBeat, and also our smart energy platform called Source. So we are going to capture all the building energy data into the platform. So the building owner or the business owner, they are able to know about their building energy consumption, health condition, are good or bad, and are they really improved based on their business productivity? How can they control their bottom line from electricity costs?
Are you not entering from one hot pen to another? Because in the current hot pen you have so many competitors, the technology is kind of plateauing. But what you're offering now, the solution says, it's still also pretty crowded. There are a lot of people who can offer that, and also easy for disruption.
I would say a lot of people that are talking about that. But in order to really make it work, in order about the market penetration, is pretty tough. Yeah. So what makes us very different is because we have quite a huge customer base today, that we have close to 200 commercial industrial buildings of our clients. So actually, we are utilizing our client base and deploy to our this smart energy solution system. And we are the first solar company who are doing this in-house for the whole R&D in Malaysia. So right now, actually, there are more than 100 old buildings already at using our this smart energy management platform. And I would say, especially during last year, when everyone talked about the digitalizations, and our clients and also the lot of new market demand also keep asking us for this solution, because there's a way for them to really go drill and go and find out where is their energy expenses go and how can they save energy from there through our this automations energy solution there.
So tell me a case study. You have said that many of your clients have begun adopting. How much savings are they getting with your solutions versus the competitor?
All right. I would say solar definitely is able to have a quite significant saving, let's say about 20-30%. And the remaining energy, if let's say we are still using the same way of how we consume energy, it will be the same because we are just switching our energy supply from Tenaga to our solar. So what we do, right, the first step is we are using this smart energy platform to capture the data, help them to analyze it. And we do have a couple of clients, for example, like Shell and also some of the local SME company called Tan Kien Huat. Actually, after they absorb the solar and also with our this smart energy solution, right, they are able to save another like 10, 15 or to 20% of energy on top of solar energy saving, because we are helping them to automate, for example, like how they use the aircon based on the temperature, how they can further save the energy from chiller. And also right now, actually, we further go into the deep tech itself, like without further mention some of the company name, I will say right now we are working closely with some of the agriculture industry player to go deep into the way of how they produce a whole their productions. And from there, we can able to control temperature, control the production schedule to further lower down the energy saving from them. Let's say like about 10, 15% or 20%. It all really depends on their energy usage equation. Yeah.
So 10 to 20% energy savings that you can drive incrementally on board. Will you decouple yourself from the energy source? Because perhaps maybe in the future, many companies won't install solar panels, but they will use other alternative energies. Would you always want to link the solar insulation panels with your energy solutions? Or are you going to decouple them?
Yeah, actually, we are flexible. We can merge it as a hybrid and we can decouple that. And this is the reason why we restructure our group of companies. So right now, actually, our tech company as the tech startup, they're growing pretty fast and go at to tap to a lot of building out there who are looking for energy saving itself, because not all the building they are suitable for solar installation. Mm.
And what is the revenue model? Do you put skin in the game by saying, look, if I can't deliver the energy savings, I don't get the fee? What is the revenue model for this new venture?
This new venture, actually, we go with two different models. First model is outright purchase model, which is the owner, they want to own the whole software solution themselves, that it will be outright pay for us. The other model, which is something that is a quite a trendy model today, is a SaaS model, which is software as a service model. So actually, they are just paying us like every month to subscribe. And then we will help them to upgrade their this software from time to time, and they are able to enjoy all the latest features from us. So I would say SaaS model is something that we will see it will be the next future in Malaysia.
One of the biggest challenges when I listen to you is that, fine, you're optimizing for now. It will require a lot of iterations, fine-tuning, and as you say, artificial intelligence. So how do you make sure that you have the talent pool and the ability to offer optimized solutions on and on? Because the talent required to do this is so different from your solar EPC business.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, this is something that most of tech company in Malaysia are facing, especially the one who are doing deep tech. Because I would say, if you look into tech industry, it's no longer just the e-commerce itself or just a B2C merchant platform. So deep tech technology, I would say we get our talents in-house, and also with that hire talent from external as well, who have come from a similar industry. And the most important thing is actually we have to really train them. So actually in the past 3 years, actually we really train a lot of homegrown engineer and also a programmer. Yeah, even though like we bring them to some of our training, this academy, like to learn about data analysis, data science and so on. Yeah, so it's come with a lot of different effort and also keep training the talents.
So how many engineers do you have now that can offer this service for you? And what's your target in 3-5 years time?
I would say right now we have an engineering team, we have our own software team. So in total, there's about like about 15 engineers and also the programmer there. Yeah, and definitely with more data from a building that we have, actually definitely we have to grow beyond that. And maybe we do have look into the different talent from overseas as well. Yeah. So I think, yeah, this is something, it's a trend that, I mean, in Malaysia, actually, you don't really have much good environment for the talent, but we do believe we all can train all the talent from scratch as well.
Well, give us a sense, right, how big this business will be now versus in 3-5 years. You've begun to do this. Solar remains a very big feature and mainstay. But give our listeners a sense, in 5 years, right, how does Plus Energy as a holding company look like? Size, okay. Shape, nature of business?
All right. I would say 5 years from today, Plus Energy, we want to build something quite exciting and also very interesting new energy solution to the markets. So solar is one of it. And besides solar, I would say the deep tech in terms of this clean energy itself is something that we want to build as well. Besides that, I would say battery storage is something that we will see will be the next upcoming trend. So because a lot of building right now, actually, when EV had become more popular, actually, the battery cost is also coming down. So I would say 5 years from today, we will see the Plus Energy. We are building a kind of ecosystem there. Most of the building, they have our own software. They're using our solar, or let's say the battery solution, and probably they are able to use our platform to further save their energy from there. And definitely it will be on Malaysia into a Southeast Asia country. Yeah. So this is something that we are ambition where we will be from today.
Revenue, profit in 5 years?
Okay, I would say actually what we are aiming, it will be more than 600 over millions. Let's say for 5 years from today, definitely, yeah, we are aiming for beyond that, maybe about 1 billion or close to that. Yeah, so this is something that we just think out loud, that we ambition that we would like to be there, yeah, 5 years from today.
And profit margins, hopefully more than the current 12%, because I think these energy solutions will probably give you better margins, right? What kind of margins do you think we're going to see in 5 years' time?
Okay, I would say something we still have to face a reality is we are in the energy industry. So energy is a kind of commodity. And eventually people are value energy when it's come really competitive pricing. So I would say, instead of we stand firm and also would like to hold on high margin, I'd rather to serve more people, yeah, from Malaysia to Southeast Asia country. Yeah. So if let's say we are able to have this about 8 to 10%, if let's say we have sufficient volume, I would say pretty good.
And I mean, this ambition, you know, has some stretch to it. It will require a bit of capital expenditure. Do you have the sufficient cash to drive this through, or what are your other capital raising exercise that you are thinking about to help you realize that ambition?
Yeah, so far, I would say in the past few years, the whole group of company, we are doing well. And actually, we have a lot of this return earning, and we are all using our own past return earning to reinvest in our new business. Yeah, so there are a couple of million that also we invest in our this tech startup company. So to move on, I would say we also will leverage on the strategic partners, because a strategic partner actually will help us to speed up in terms of a new business, especially on the solution, the diversification, and also on R&D part. So right now, actually, I would say the move on, right, actually our platform, we were more moving into like an open source, and then we will acquire more this partner on top of our platform. They say we are doing the same thing to compete with them, because that's a way of how the future world is going to look like.
Thank you for joining us today. With us this morning is Ko Chuan Zen, CEO of Plus Solar and Plus Synergy. I'm Philip C, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.